Father, we sang our praises to you, the mighty God. We read your scriptures, our Father. We, Lord, are such a privileged people. You've called us here today, our God, not only to lift up our voice of praise, to confess our sins, but, Lord, to focus on you and to hear what you have to say to us. Our Father, we anticipate, Lord, you in our midst. You promised your presence where your people are gathered. You would be in the middle, in with them, our God. You will walk with us and love us and reveal the things of God to us. So, Father, that's why we bow in your presence now. For now, Lord God, we want to hear what you have for us, that our lives will be transformed, that we will live for your great glory, our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Just one more reminder. We want to do a special offering for Teen Challenge. So if you haven't done that yet, at the end of the service, there's a box back there. Just drop that little gift in. We want to give them a gift today as they come and share their time with us. Yes. Yeah, there's little brown envelopes up there right by the box. So if you have Teen Challenge money, just mark Teen Challenge on the envelope. Well, we're continuing our series on the blood of Christ. And we saw from Hebrews that the blood of Christ speaks. It speaks. And it speaks in the context of better things. The writer of the Hebrews says, it speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. Last week, we saw that the blood of Christ speaks of justification before God. Today, I'm going to read to you three texts of scriptures. I want you to pay attention and see how the blood of Christ speaks through these texts. All right? The first text we've already read, 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Colossians 1:19-22. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him, that is Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Romans 5:6-11. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received the reconciliation. I trust as I was reading through these texts, I'm sure if you were listening, you picked up the theme of the blood of Christ and what it speaks to us. You caught what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. Just a summary. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. For if when we were while enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having now been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What is the theme? Reconciliation. There are several wonderful truths you can learn from these texts. And remember, these sermons are thematic. They're not breaking down word by word, but we're dwelling on a theme, reconciliation. Reconciliation, we know, comes through the blood of God's Son. God reconciles all things through the death of his Son, through the blood of his Son. Christ, the blood of Christ is Jesus dying in our place, giving up his life and death. Through his act of giving up his life and death, God reconciles us. Reconciliation comes through the blood of Christ. We saw that in Colossians, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Secondly, we can learn this, that it was God, not sinful man, who brought about reconciliation. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Christ and through him to reconcile all things to himself. It was God's good pleasure. And thirdly, we who are sinners and enemies of God, reconciliation could never begin with us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What then is reconciliation? The blood of Christ speaks of reconciliation. It is God's act. God reconciles all things through the death of his Son. But what is reconciliation? Well, reconciliation, the word itself, comes from the Greek family of words that has its root in, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, alasso, A-L-L-A-S-S-O. The meaning common to this word group is change or exchange. Reconciliation involves a change in relationship. Reconciliation, the word, that's the picture it's portraying. There has been a change in a relationship. Specifically in the gospel, there has been a change in a relationship between God and man. It assumes that there has been a breakdown in relationship. But now, through reconciliation, a change has taken place, and there's a change or an exchange from enmity to peace. Paul says in Romans 5, 6 to 11, that before reconciliation, we, you and I, were powerless, ungodly, sinners, and enemies of God. We were under God's wrath. God was our enemy. He's against us because we are against him. That is the position and the condition. That's the relationship, one of conflict. God against man and man against God. In a change, in reconciliation, Paul says in Romans 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We're in a new situation. What's the new situation? It's a new relationship of reconciliations. Our sins, which offended our God, has been dealt with, and God is no longer against us. In this new relationship, God is now our Father. A father is not against his children. In the new relationship, the new creation, we are no longer enemies of God. As new creatures, we are now adopted sons and daughters. We approach God now and we say, Abba, Father. As the children of God, we serve God, not opposed to God, but we want to please our Father. So there's been reconciliation, there's been a change of enmity and warfare to family and love, to haters of God and God's wrath against us, to I want to love God, He's my Father, and my Father says, I want to love you. Reconciliation speaks of change. There's a change from a state of enmity to one of harmony and fellowship and family. The broken relationship. I just want to spend time to look at the broken relationship. Before reconciliation, we can see that there was a severe broken relationship between God and man and God. As for man, as a man's side, our side, we were enemies of God. We were against Him. We broke His law. We were ungodly. The things of God, Paul says in Corinthians, are foolishness to natural man. We lived our life as if there is no God. And as fools, we may even have said that. There is no God. We live for ourselves. No peace with God. And what's sad, we don't even care. We lived our lives as if there's no God, and we just don't care. In fact, living a self-centered life, we placed ourselves under the rule of God's greatest enemy, Satan himself. Ephesians 2:1-3. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we all too, all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Being enemies to God, we placed ourselves under God's wrath, and now God becomes our enemy. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, Paul, in the book of Hebrews, it says this, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. That's frightening. We live in sin and we don't care. And God, our judge, sees us as his enemies. Consider seriously while you delay, God is your enemy. And he is angry with you every day. Every sin provokes his anger. And no sin is so provoking as unbelief, because we are calling God a liar. Now, to have some authority on earth that has some monarch, ruling monarch, some ruling power that has absolute control over us as your enemy is very bad. But to have God as your enemy is infinitely worse. God is a judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7, 11-13. God is a righteous judge, a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, it says in the psalm, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He has all prepared for himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrow fiery shafts. So reconciliation, it presupposes disrupted relations between God and men. It implies enmity and alienation, and the cause of the alienation is our sin. Isaiah 59:2 says, "Behold, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins has hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." What a place to be in. Sinners who don't care, under the hand of a God who's against you. But it's not the Father, it's not God's good pleasure that that relationship remain. It's not pleasing to God that that is the relationship between God and man. God took the initiative to repair that enmity. Listen to the gospel preacher Isaiah the prophet. "Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed." The gospel, the good news, comfort, oh, comfort my people. Speak to Jerusalem. Call out to her that her warfare has ended. The enmity is over. The war between God and man is over. The inequity has been removed. That which caused the enmity has been dealt with by God. He's removed it. The prophet Isaiah had been charged with a message of judgment against God's people. And God spoke through Isaiah to Israel to the coming judgment for her sins. And he was going to use this pagan nation, Babylon, to carry out his purposes and his judgment. And Israel was to go through the fires of exile. And just as God said judgment would come, it did. God's word never fails. Now through Isaiah, the same prophet, God says restoration will come. That's the idea of the word comfort. Comfort means to encourage, to speak kindly, to speak tenderly. The God who spoke of wrath and judgment speaks kindly and tenderly to the same people. To the people who provoked him to anger, he speaks words of comfort and tenderness. Further down in Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4, a voice is calling, "Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley." There is a highway in the wilderness. Sent into exile, God says, every mountain, every valley, every hindrance in the way, a path will be plowed, and our God will come and deliver his people and speak words of comfort and peace to those who have sinned against him. That which caused God to be against us was our sin and guilt. And Christ took upon himself the sin and guilt, the condemnation and the curse for all those who would believe in him. The blood of Christ is God's provision, the way God accomplished peace between God and man and God. Reconciliation is God's message to us that all that is needed for peace, God has provided in Christ. In Christ, the warfare has ended. The war is over. In the eyes of God, the war has ended. In Christ, there is a new and living way to God. All hindrances have been removed. The mountains and the valleys are plowed under and made straight, a pathway straight to our God, and God to us through Christ. God has done all that in his Son. And our part is to repent and believe and receive the reconciliation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed, new things have come. Now all things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This message of reconciliation or salvation that comes from God through Christ has been passed on to us. And I say to you, be reconciled to God. This whole message of reconciliation is centered around the love of God and the death of his Son. Paul reminds us that God demonstrates his own love towards us and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Colossians, Paul says that our sins, and all that was against us was nailed to the cross. There were two signs on the cross when Jesus was on the cross. The Romans put a sign on the cross, Jesus, King of the Jews, and they nailed it to the cross of Christ. God himself put a sign on the cross, your sins are forgiven. Your sins have been placed upon my Son. My wrath is against your sin in him, not against you. He nailed it to the cross, it says in Colossians. That's why we could sing with John Wesley or Charles, I don't know which one wrote it, but he said, my God is reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear. This brings peace with God, access to God through Christ. And in turn, this brings the peace of God. There's a difference. There's peace with God. That's final. That's completed in Christ. I have peace with God, being justified freely by grace. But I also have the peace of God living in me as I meditate and appropriate to myself reconciliation. The peace of God, it's rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. It makes us rejoice in many things, even in suffering, having the love of God poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received the reconciliation. John MacArthur says, the natural man lacks peace with God. We all come into the world fighting against God because we are part of the rebellion that started with Adam and Eve. Romans 5:10 says we were enemies of God. We fought against God, and everything we did militated against his principles. But when we receive Jesus Christ, we cease being enemies of God. We make a truce with him. We come over to his side, and the hostility is ended. Jesus Christ wrote the treaty with the blood of his cross. That treaty, that bond, that covenant of peace declares that the objective fact that we are now at peace with him. That's what Paul means in Ephesians 6:15 when he calls the good news of salvation the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of that which makes a man who was at war with God to be at peace with God. And this peace is objective. That means God is at peace with us. It's outside of us. But what's outside of us generates peace within us. A sinful, vile, wicked person cannot come into the presence of a holy God. Something must make that ungodly person righteous before he can be at peace with God. And that's exactly what Christ did, dying for sin, imputing his righteousness to sinners. So Paul says we're no longer enemies, but we are at peace because of reconciliation. John MacArthur again says, it is as if God were on one side and we're on the other side. Then Christ filled the gap, taking the hand of God and the hand of man and placing them together in one grip. We have been now brought together through the blood of the cross. Whereas man and God were estranged, they are now reconciled. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. That peace comes from trusting in the blood of Christ. As God makes peace through the blood of his cross, the Spirit works peace within us, and that overflows into the body of Christ. When we have peace with God, we will have the peace of God, and the peace of God will overflow that we will have peace one with another. The peace of Christ, as Paul says in Colossians, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And where peace rules, what do you see? You see Christians thinking of one another as more important than themselves. You see forgiveness taking place among the people of God. You see the people of God talking out their differences one to another, that they may win their brother or sister. In the 1800s, Wade Robinson wrote a hymn called Love with Everlasting Love. It is a hymn which, to me, speaks of the embrace of a reconciled relationship. Were you ever at enmity with someone and peace was brought about? And you know what normally happens? You embrace one another. Now with men, we do something odd. We go, we tap each other on the back. Seems to be common with all guys. They give each other a hug and they tap each other on the back. But that embrace means the warfare is ended. Listen to this hymn. I call it the hymn of the embrace of a reconciled relationship. Loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. Gracious Spirit from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine, in a love that cannot cease. I am his, and he is mine. Things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on the loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here, doubt and care and self-resign, while he whispers in my ear, I am his, and he is mine. The blood of Christ speaks. The blood of Christ says, you're warm.
warfare. God says the warfare is over. And he speaks words of comfort and love and wooing to himself. Come, Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you know the peace? Are you reconciled to God? Do you know the embrace of peace by God through Christ? I leave that with you. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the blood of your Son and the blood of reconciliation, our God. And by grace, Father, may we appropriate this good news, our God, that you who were once against us are now for us. There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. If our God is for us, who can be against us? And Lord, may our hearts be transformed that, Lord, no longer would we against you and opposing you, God, but we would love you and call out to you, Abba, Father, and walk in a manner that is pleasing to you. As beloved children, we would be imitators of God. Oh, Father, would you bring about that new relationship? I pray as Christian people, Lord, we would see the peace of Christ rule within our body here at Providence. That, Father, the reconciliation that we have with you, there would be an overflow of peace in our hearts towards you and towards one another. Oh, Father, transform us through the gospel of your Son. And, Lord, speak to us in the blood of reconciliation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.